Brother Tony said that I said last week in my message I wouldn't get no kittens. Did I say that? Did anybody else hear that? I got two yesterday. Help us, Lord. Two of them. Y'all pray for me. I lost. All right, take your Bibles and turn over to Genesis chapter number 5. Genesis chapter 5, and then your other hand, go to Hebrews chapter number 11. And then if you could find another hand, go to Daniel chapter 1. Genesis 5, Hebrews 11, Daniel 1. Genesis 5, Hebrews 11, and Daniel chapter number 1. We're going to... get into this past week and thinking about all the things going on in the world, and man, it seems like time is flying by so fast. And you get in this world and you see what's going on, and your Christmas time's upon us again, and seems like every single year there's less and less and less of Christ in Christmas. Every year, it dwindles down every single year. And it's less and less you hear about it. We just sang that song, "Let Us Come and Adore Him." And I tell you what, when we think about Christ's birth, we think about the fact that He died and rose again. We sang He is risen, and we ought to stand in adoration and adore Him. We ought to. Every time we come to church, we ought to adore Him. Every time we come to church, we ought to leave whatever problem we have. And I know that sometimes folks are sick and not feeling well, and I understand that. But all the cares of this life and everything that we do, man, we ought to leave it outside. It'll be there for us when we get done. Trust me, it'll be there sitting there waiting on you when you get out of church. But when we come here, we ought to adore Him. And we ought to look at Him and magnify Him. But we think about all the things going on, and look at the things with this election that just happened here in the state of Alabama, and all the controversy and different things going on. And as we looked at that, I'm telling you right now that as a child of God, we had better be close to Him. I'm not talking about having knowledge of Him. I'm talking about having a relationship with Him. We get in this world and we're living in this thing, and we've got children and we've got family. We've got all these kids that were up here, and these young ladies sitting here, and these young men. And I'll tell you what, we need to know who God is. And we need to have a relationship with Him in these last days. And I want to look at something this morning that God laid on my heart. And as we think about this time of Christmas and all this stuff going on, and there's some things that we ought to know about God and be close to Him. The Bible says over there in Genesis chapter number 5, in verse number 24, if you're there, say amen. Genesis 5:24, the Bible says, "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Go to Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11, you do not have to save your place over there in Genesis. Hebrews chapter number 11, Enoch walked with God and he was not, because God took him. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 5. Hebrews 11, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. It was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Go over to Daniel chapter number 1. So here we see a man by the name of Enoch, and I'm not going to preach about him this morning, but he was so close to God. He was so close to God. He pleased God so much that he never died. God just took him. God just took the man. I mean, he didn't go through the dying process, and he didn't die. He had such a close relationship with God. I heard a preacher say one time that Enoch was so spiritually minded and so heavenly minded that he was no earthly good, so God just took him. Amen. Wouldn't it be something to have a testimony? Enoch said about, Hebrews said there, y'all pray for me. I don't know what's wrong with my thoughts and mouth this morning. But Enoch had such a testimony of pleasing God that God just took him and said, "I want him to be with me." Wouldn't that be a great testimony to have? Man, if God was to look down in this room right now, if God was to go down and look at these young ladies this morning, would He say that your heart is in the right place and your mind was so concentrated on Him and so infatuated with God and so close to Him that God would say, man, I want them with me right now? We ought to try to have that, amen, but it's hard in this world that we live in. I'm telling you what, the devil and the world is throwing everything at us, and everything's attacking us, and we're here at Christmas, and it seems like Christ is not on everybody's mind like it used to be, and we're so consumed with the world and Christians that we do not have a close relationship with God. You know, if we had a close relationship with God, we would know what upsets Him. We would know what upsets God. Going back, looking at some of these things with this election and the different issues that were brought up and seeing all these so-called Christians that are coming out on social media, and everybody's a celebrity on social media. They just get on there with a camera and they can spout out their opinion. But if they say that I am a Christian and they allow some of the things to happen and they stand for some of the things that are going on in this world, it is a shame to Christianity. But you know what the problem is? They do not know who God is. They say they're saved, and there's some that might be saved, but they don't know God. They don't have a close relationship with God. They don't have a relationship with Him to know what God likes. Do you know what pleases God? Enoch, the Bible says there that he had a testimony of pleasing God. You say, I want to please God. Do you know what pleases Him? If we were to go around the room and ask and go around and say, do you know what pleases God? Do you know what makes Him happy? And I'm sure there's some maybe generic ones that we'd throw out, going to church or reading our Bible or praying, but it goes a lot deeper than that. You know, there's some things I know pleases my wife that go beyond just the generic ones that everybody should know and understand. This is what pleases God. And we ought to have a relationship, a closeness with God, that we know what pleases Him. You know what else? We ought to know what displeases Him. We ought to know what makes God angry. There's some things in the Bible that make God angry. And Christians today, man, they're just going right along with the flow of the world. They're going right along with the ideology of the world, the wisdom of the world. The Bible talks about a lot in 1 Corinthians about the wisdom of the world. And Christians are just following along like little puppies, just going right along with it. And they do not know God. They're not close to God. You've seen relationships that have broke down over the years. They might have been married for 20, 30 years, and now they're sitting in divorce court, and you'll go talk to them, and one of the things that they'll tell you is they'll say, I do not know them anymore. Y'all ever heard that from somebody that ended up in divorce, or their marriage is just a shambles and a wreck, and you go to talk to them and say, what happened? And they'll say, I don't know her anymore, or I don't know him anymore. And you know what? I'm afraid that we're in that relationship with God today, and this apostate generation that we live in, that Christians have turned their back on God, and they'll wear a t-shirt that says we're Christians. They'll wear a sign that says we're Christians. They'll tell you what church they go to, and they'll sit there and hold a Bible, but they have no clue what the Bible says about things. They do not know who God is. Brother Richie, we ought to know what God says about our marriage. We ought to know what He says about our kids and about raising and about church. We ought to know what pleases God. You know, today people do whatever they want to do, and they'll throw Christianity on it. Amen? I'm not preaching on this. I'm preaching on something. I'm just saying, we ought to know what pleases God. And when I sit back and look at what's going on and all these things, and especially with this recent election thing that's taking place, and hearing everybody's opinion, well, I'm a Christian, I go to this church, and I do this. But the things that are coming out of their mouth have nothing to do with what God told us to do. You know the problem? They don't know God. And there's churches, there's pastors all over this country that stand in a pulpit, and they'll preach an economical message about loving one another and driving a green car and taking care of the planet and doing all these different things and how to love yourself and how to love everybody, and they don't even know what pleases God. They have no clue. They have no clue what pleases God. They have no clue what displeases God. Enoch was so close to God, Brother Johnny, that God just took him. He had a testimony of pleasing God. And you know what would be something for us and our families and for us individually and as young people is to have a testimony that people say, what do you know about Brother Hunter? What do you know about him? Say, man, I don't know. He does heating and air and stuff, and I don't know a lot about him. But I'll tell you one thing. He tries to please God. He doesn't care what anybody thinks. He doesn't care what anybody does. And he doesn't mind. He doesn't give one thought to public opinion. All he cares about is what does God think. Wouldn't that be a good testimony to have? Wouldn't that be a good testimony for our church? Wouldn't that be a good testimony for our marriage and our home? Well, hey, they don't do it that way down there, or they don't do it at that church, or that couple doesn't do it. Hey, what does the Bible say? And say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And not just say it, but know what the Bible says about it. Young men, I've been preaching to some of y'all and some of these young ladies, young men, getting ready to go out and get a job and all these things. We better have a relationship with God. We better know who He is and know what He wants. Why? We're going to end up in a mess. I'm telling you what, this country is headed in the wrong direction and is going very fast. And in the name of Christianity, supposedly all these people have got all their opinions, and we don't have one clue what the Bible says. Man, I want to get close to God. I want to know what He says for my home and my family. And I want to look at something this morning just for a few minutes. Well, I don't know how long it'll be. How close are you to God? That's what I'm going to ask this morning. Because I'm telling you, and this message is just as much for me and my family as it is for anybody in this room or anybody that listens to it online, we have got to get close to God. We have to have that. We don't have a choice. You say, well, yeah, we do. Well, you might think you do, but I'm telling you, the closer we get in this thing in this world, the closer we better be to God. We need His wisdom. We need His help, His blessings. We need those things. And the title of the message this morning is, How Close Are You to God? And I want to look at our life and examine our life this morning and say, how close are we to God? And I want to look at a few things in the life of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that are evident. It's a testimony and some evidences in our life when we are walking close with God. There'll be some things in your life that you could look at or other people can see and say they must be close to God. Have y'all ever met anybody before that you knew they walked close with God? An old man of God or an old woman of God, a saint of God, that you knew that they spent time with God, you knew that they had a relationship with God, you say, hey, that person is close to God. Y'all ever met anybody that way? Do we see it very often now? I'm telling you right now, we don't. We do not see it in this generation that we live in. They're far and few between. And I'm telling you that if we say we're Bible believers in these things, we need to know what the Bible says and we need to be close to God. Let me give you just a few things, and I don't mean to be mean this morning. I'm just trying to tell you folks, we're talking about Christmas here and everything that's going on in our society and in the state and in the government and all over the world. Hey, none of that matters. We ought to be close to God. If we're close to God, then we'll make the right decisions to do the right things here and let God sort the other things out. Let me show you just a few things here. When you're walking close with God, number one, others will find you better. I'm not talking about yourself. I'm not talking about pride. Other people will find you better. Now, they might not like it, and they might be jealous of it, and they might talk down about you, but they're going to find out that you're doing better. Why? Because you got God on your side. Because you have a relationship with Him. Daniel chapter 1 and verse number 19. Y'all there, say amen. Daniel chapter 1, verse 19. And the king commanded, we have here Daniel here, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they were told that they need to eat these meats and stuff offered to idols, and that they were to bow down, and they were to do these things for these idols, and they purposed in their heart, in Daniel 1:8, he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat or things offered to idols. He made a vow to God. He said, my relationship with God is more important than what man has to say. And so here, so what happens is they end up, the king tells them they can eat whatever they want to eat. They don't have to do that, and they're going to see how things turn out. Daniel chapter 1, verse number 19, and the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all of his realm. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. You know, when you're walking close with God and you have a relationship with God, others are going to find that there's something different about you. And again, I'm not talking about pride or lifting yourself up. Everything that we have is by the grace of God. But other people are going to realize there's something different about you. They're going to sit back, and no matter when tragic comes in our life, there's a misconception in this thing of Christianity or religion around the world today that if you're saved, nothing bad's ever going to happen. That's not true. We live in a sinful world. We live in a fallen world. Bad things happen. Amen. Things break. Things get hurt. People get hurt. Things happen. It's not going to be perfect, but I'm telling you, if we got God on our side, it'll be okay. And we can have the peace of God. But whenever you're walking close with God, others will find you better. You find a young man or a young lady that falls in love with God and they have a relationship with God and they strive to keep themselves pure, they strive to keep themselves right with God and they keep their purity and they try to live right and do right and please God and have a relationship with Him, they stick out like a sore thumb. They stick out like a sore thumb. Why? There's something different about them. And you know what? They'll get made fun of. They'll get mocked. Every single sitcom you find on television, if there's a Christian, it's a little effeminate guy with no backbone. He don't stand up for nothing, and they mock and make fun of him because he's different. You know, in this world of everybody wanting to be different, man, there's people that have purple hair, and they got it spiked up, and they look like a tackle box just fell on their head, and everything stuck to it. They got to get all these tattoos and all these things. They said, man, I just want to be different. You want to be different, young ladies? You want to be different? Dress right. Fall in love with God. Keep your purity. Don't let no boys anywhere near you or touch you. Don't let any of that stuff happen, and you'll be different. And guess what? God will be pleased with you. They'll make fun. They'll mock. I did all throughout high school. I was homeschooled, but I played sports, and I went to public school my last 2 years. And as soon as I got out in the workforce, some of these young men are about to get out of the workforce. You live right, you do right, you don't smoke, you don't drink, you don't dope. You're not having inappropriate relationships with a lady you're not married to, and all those things. And they will make fun of you. They will joke. They'll mock. They'll do all those things. But you know what? They're going to find out. They're going to find out that something different is better. Every time that happened, those same guys that would sit there and mock and make fun were the same ones that showed up to work late Monday morning because they're still hungover. I was there on time ready to work. Amen. Those same guys that would make fun of you for keeping yourself clean and pure and all these things. This world's got a motto when it comes to relationships of a car. Try it out before you buy it. That's wicked. Not popular. It's wicked. Amen. The Bible says the man's not supposed to touch a woman he's not married to. And it takes a lot more than touching to go any farther than that. And the Bible says don't do that. And so you say, I don't do that. I stay here. But that same man that will make fun and mock and joke and all those things, and man, look at that little Christian boy over there and try to get him to cuss and try to get him to listen to a bad joke, that same guy will pull you over in a corner. He won't do it in front of everybody and say, man, me and my wife are having problems. Will you pray for us? That same guy that just in front of everybody 2 days ago was making fun of you because you don't go out drinking and you're not doping and smoking and you're not running around and you don't listen to all those jokes, that same guy is going to pull you aside one day and say, man, I need you to pray for me. Why? There's something you have he don't. He can run all day long, and that's a sign of being close to God and having a relationship with Him. Others will find you better. It's not because of you. Don't get that in your mind. It's all because of Him. It's because of that relationship with Him. Others will find you better. There's been ladies over the years that my wife, anytime that something's done or said, or they want to make a ladies' trip or a ladies' shopping time, or they want to go do something, and she'll say, I need to ask my husband first. And they'll laugh at her. What do you mean you got to ask your husband? You know, that's the world's mentality. But she said, no, I need to ask my husband. Those same ones might come to her later and say, hey, my marriage is shambles. Will you talk to me? What's going on? You know, they find something different, something better. And it's not me. It's not her. It's because of the Lord Jesus Christ. not only that, but I kind of mentioned this one. Not only will others find you better, but number two, people will pressure you to do wrong and even more so than others. If you're walking close with God, this is going to be something evident in your life. People are going to pressure you to do wrong even more so than others. Look at verse number 13. Y'all still with me? Go to chapter 3, verse 13. Chapter 3, verse 13. Daniel chapter 3, verse 13. The Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, little g, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if ye be ready, at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kind of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand?" He was mocking them, he was making fun of them, and he was pressuring them to do wrong. And I'm telling you what, if you have a close walk with God, the same thing will happen. I don't care if you're 10 years old or you're 100 years old, the world will always pressure you to do what's wrong. And there is such a pressure on Christians today to accept sodomy, to accept abortion, to accept alternative lifestyles. There is a massive pressure on Christians today to accept those things. I'm not talking about you have to like it. I'm not talking about you have to condone it. They just want you to accept it. There's a huge pressure of that today. And I'm telling you what, it will not stop, and it'll get worse for those that do stand up for it. I'm going to teach my children it's not right. That happens, you see it, and you explain to them that is sin, that God is not pleased with that at all, and we will not condone that. But that's getting harder and harder to do. Because Christians today are telling their kids, well, you know, you shouldn't do that, but we just need to love them. Amen. You don't ever love sin. You want to witness to them and give them a track and tell them that they need to be saved, that's fine. But I'm telling you, whenever you're close to God, there will be pressure from this world to do wrong and to accept all these things. And it's happening all over the country. There's a church, the First Baptist Church, and I don't mind saying it, all over the First Baptist Church of Charleston, South Carolina. Oh, no, Greenville. The First Baptist Church of Greenville, South Carolina, had an all-gay men's choir come sing at their church the 1st of October from San Francisco. They invited them in to come sing at their church, this big Southern Baptist church. You know what that is? Well, we're just going to accept it. There's a great pressure. And I'm telling you, that pressure is not going to slow down. The king here, he told him to bow down. He said, "I can't believe you're not bowing down. I want you to bow down." He said, "If you don't bow down, I'm going to turn it up seven times hotter." And we think it gets hot. It's going to get hotter. Amen? Is this all right this morning? I got a lot on my heart about getting close to God. And if you are close to him, hey, you say, "Man, I'm being persecuted. My family's making fun of me. Hey, my relatives, I tell them I'm saved. They say, 'I thought you were saved.'" They do all these things, and they go on and on and on and on. You know what you ought to do? You ought to give it to God and say, "Lord, thank you. Thank you for the persecution." Why? "Yea, all those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer" what? Persecution. You know what that means? You must be doing something right. You say, "Man, it seems like everything's falling apart around me," but do you have peace in your heart? Now, if everything's falling apart around you and you're not close to God and you're involved in sin and not living right, that's a whole other problem you've got. That's a you problem. Amen? But if you're living right and you're doing right and you're close to God and that pressure just increases, man, I'm telling you what, the closer you get to God, young ladies, the harder the pressure's going to be. The devil hates it. He hates the fact that y'all are sitting up here this morning. He hates the fact that y'all are in this Christmas play. And that pressure is going to increase on our families and all these things. And if you're close to God, an evidence of it is people are going to pressure you to do wrong, and even more so than others. They're going to drill down on that. Not only that, but they're going to mock you for doing right. They'll mock and make fun of you for doing right. Look there at the bottom of verse number 15. The end of it. Look what he says. He says, and who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? You know what that, you know what he's doing? He's making fun of him. He is mocking him. Oh, you serve this great God? You say you won't bow down? You say you won't bow down when you hear the music to these idols? And who is this God that's going to save you? How many times have I seen when something happens in this world because of sin, and these media people come out, and all these liberals and God haters come out, and they say, where's your God now? Y'all ever heard that before, seen that? Where's your God now? That's exactly what they said right there. Where's your God now? And I'm telling you what, he said that, but he didn't realize God was in the fire. He was in there waiting on them. And so this is going to happen if you try to walk close with God. Not only that, but number four, you're going to make the right decision even in difficult times. Look at verse number 16. When you're walking close to God, you're going to make the right decision even in difficult times. Verse number 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. It did not mean, when he says we're not careful, it didn't mean they were clumsy. He's just saying, hey, we're not worried about it. We're not full of care, and we're not trembling. No, we're not going to do it. It says there in verse number 17, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. Verse 18, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship thy golden image which thou hast set up. You're going to make, when you're walking close to God, you're going to make the right decision even in difficult times. If you ever find in your life, my dad taught me this as a teenager because I made a lot of dumb decisions. And every time I was making, Brother Hunter, I'd make dumb decision after dumb decision after dumb decision. You know what he would come and ask me? He'd say, are you reading your Bible and praying? You know what he was asking me? Brother Johnny, are you close to God? People make, especially young men, they're going to make dumb decisions. Amen? That's going to happen. But I'm telling you right now, it seemed like when I had a pattern of it, my dad had enough wisdom to come and ask me, and he said, are you reading your Bible, you're praying? And what he was essentially saying, Brother Philip, is, hey, are you close to God? Because it doesn't look like you are. Because I'm telling you that if you get close to God and you get close to that book and you're on your knees and you know what pleases him and you know what displeases him, you're going to make the right decisions. Because you're going to make the decision that pleases him. And you'll make those things. That's an evidence of being close to God, is making those right decisions. You find yourself in your life and it seems like everything's going wrong. And it seems like you're never making the right decision and all this stuff's happening. The question to ask yourself is, how close am I to God? Amen. Are y'all okay? Make the right decisions. If you're close to God, the world, the flesh, the devil, they're going to throw everything they have at you if you're close to God. You say, I don't want all this. I don't want the world, the flesh, the devil to attack me. I don't want any of those things. Then stay away from God. That simple. Stay away from God. And I tell you what, there's churches that you can go to where you can be as far away God as you want to and be happy and not ever have any conviction. There's places that you can go to do that. But the world, the flesh, the devil, they're going to try to throw their best at you. But I tell you what, I'd rather them throw their absolute best at me. I'd rather them do that all day long and have the blessings of God in my life. Have the hand of God in my life. I tell you what, I need God. I tell you all the time, I got these children, this church, the place where I work, the things that I do. I need God. And I can walk away from him and the world won't bother me. The flesh, the devil, they will leave me alone. And I'll be in absolute misery without the hand of God in my life. And you know what else will end up happening? My kids will probably end up dying and going to hell. Amen. One of them saved, I know for sure. The other two, if I was to quit on God today because of the devil, the world, and the flesh, and I was to give up and walk away, I'm telling you what, I've got two that could end up in a devil's hell. They could end up in a life of misery. Even my seven-year-old, she's going to be eight tomorrow. She's reminded me 5 million times she's going to be eight tomorrow. She is so excited about it. That's why she got a kitten, amen. She is so excited about it, and she drove me nuts. But that eight-year-old, I've seen it time and time again. I've seen it where the pressure got too much. The pressure from the world. And you know what? The pressure's coming, but it was so hard on them and they were not close enough to God to handle it. to let God handle it, and they ended up out of church. Years later, you look at them, and they're a mess. One of the kids is laid up in jail somewhere, and they've been hooked on drugs. There's some that are hooked on alcohol. There's some that are hooked on pornography. Their life's a mess. They've been through two or three marriages. You go talk to the man that used to sit in church, and he used to teach Sunday school, and he used to do popcorn preaching, and the wife used to teach Sunday school. The kids used to be in the Christmas play, and they used to sing, and now their family is busted to pieces. Guess what? World don't bother them. The devil's not worried about them. Wow, they're a destruction of their own. He's just worried if you're close to God. Why? Because you're close to God. If you get close to God, God might touch that child of yours and call them to be a missionary. He might call that young man to be a preacher, the preacher of the gospel that's going to lead souls to Christ. He's worried that marriage is going to honor and glorify God. Said the devil's attacking me, the world's against me. That might be an evidence that you're close to God. I tell you what, I'd rather have God on my side than have all the pleasure of this world and all the misery of this world. I've seen it time and time again in families' lives. You'll see them years later say, "What happened?" They'll look at you and say, "I don't know. What happened?" They walked away from God. They walked away from Him. Look at verse number 19. The world, the flesh, the devil, they'll try to throw their best at you. Verse number 19, then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. They're going to throw everything they have at you. And I'm telling you right now, if you have kids, the devil in the world is going to throw everything he has at them. There are more kids today that are on antidepressant medicines than there ever has been. Why? The world, the devil, he wants to get to their mind. He wants to get in there and mess with them. He wants to, hey, if he can get them, he's got the next generation. And the devil's going to throw everything he can at them. Parents, we ought to stand guard in our home and in our lives for the devil against our children, so the devil does not get after them. I like this one right here, though. If you're walking close with God, if you're close to God, mighty men that try to destroy you, they will be destroyed by God. If you're walking close with Him, God will not allow them to harm you. Look there in verse number 21. Then these men, talking about these mighty men, they bound. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen and their hats and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the fire, of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace was exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. When you're walking close with God, those that try to do you harm and hurt, God will protect you and He will get them. You don't have to worry about trying to get them. God will take care of it. And people come against us sometimes and we're so worried about what are we going to do to get them back. If you're walking close to God, don't worry about it. Man, I hear about people that do stuff to churches and do stuff to Christians, and you hear about these people that are supporting this abortion and sodomy and all this stuff, and we're ringing our, what are we going to do about it? Don't worry about it. God's going to take care of it. You just walk close with God. He'll take care of it. He'll take care of all those things. He'll take care of His people. Not only that, but when you're walking close to God, He's going to walk with you through those fiery trials. Y'all know the story here. King Nebuchadnezzar stood back, and he looked in the fire, and he said, "Hey, I thought we threw three men in." Looked over to the guy and said, "Hey, did we not throw three men in there?" They said, "Yeah, we did." He said, "Well, there's four walking around. And one of them, amen, the Son of God was standing in that fire." When you're walking close with God, when you have a relationship with Him, He's going to walk hand in hand with you whatever you're going through. And I'm telling you what, it is so much sweeter knowing He's there. When I was a kid, it seemed like the storms would come up. It seems like we lived in this old wooden house. I might have told you all this before, and it was an old farmhouse, and every time the wind blew, the whole house creaked, and the wind would blow through the house. Man, it seems like every time winter come, Dad would have to take plastic and literally cover every window and every door and everything because that house was so drafty. And a storm would come up and that whole house would shake and I would be terrified and scared half to death. And I would go run and jump in my mom and dad's bed and I would try to get right in between them and sleep right there. And as soon as I hit that bed and as soon as I landed in between them and I could feel them up against me, as soon as that happened, everything was fine. I wasn't worried. I wasn't scared anymore. The lightning would come. The lightning would hit. The thunder would crash. The same house would creak. But everything was okay. It was almost a little exciting then. It was fun. Camping out, amen. Pressure power goes out. But as soon as I got over in my dad's lap, as soon as I landed over in my dad's lap, everything was okay. And I'm telling you right now, do you know where we need to live? We need to live in the Father's lap. We need to get so close to God that we're living in His lap. I'm not talking about coming to visit Him every now and again on a Sunday. I'm not talking about every now and again talking to Him when you pick up your prayer line. I'm talking about living with Him. I'm talking about getting so close to God that He's there. You know what? When I laid there in between my mom and dad and I knew they were there, it seemed like that storm had disappeared, but the storm was still there. There were still trees falling outside. There was still damage. There was still all kind of problems going on. It was still there. But all of a sudden, everything was okay. We got Christians that are walking through this life and dealing with struggles and trials and temptations and all these things, and they are struggling. What's happened? They're not close to God. You see people sometimes, they go through the most awful things and they still got a smile on their face. They still have peace. What's the difference? They're close to God. Then there's some others that are just, woe is me. They're not close to God. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 13 said, God said He will never leave thee nor forsake thee. But I tell you what, you could walk away from Him. Let me give you one more real quick, and then this isn't even the message. This is just an introduction. I'm just going to give you the 3 points for the message and we'll stop. When you're walking close to God, God will be honored in everything that you do. God will be honored in everything you do. Look at verse number 28. Verse number 28. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent His angel and delivered His servant that trusted in Him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces and their house shall be made a dunghill. Man, that's pretty extreme. That's pretty extreme. Because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. The king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. You know what happened? Because these three men, and earlier on Daniel, these four men, do you know what happened? Because they had a close relationship with God. Because they stayed with God and they stayed faithful to God. The Lord Jesus Christ was magnified. You want to know an evidence? In your life of walking close to God, is Jesus Christ magnified? Is God lifted up? Is He honored in everything and whatever we do? And I'm going to tell you the truth, it's not always like that in my life. He's not always honored and magnified and lifted up in my life like He ought to be. But if we're walking close to God, He will be lifted up. He will be magnified. And King Nebuchadnezzar there, he went on to say, hey, there is no other God can do what just happened. I'm telling you, we threw three people in there. There was four walking around. When they came out, they didn't even smell like smoke. I can't even drive past somebody burning brush without smelling like smoke when I get home. They were in the fire, didn't even smell like smoke. The king said, hey, something's different about these men. They're walking so close to God that he ended up saying, hey, forget all these other gods. If you don't serve this one, we're going to cut you up in pieces and burn your house down. Making it to a dunghill. Amen. That's pretty. So Jesus Christ was magnified. Let me give you this. I still got two or three pages. I got to stop. So Brother Andrew, how do I get close to God? We have to get close to Him. I don't think we have a choice. We do. We have a free will, but we need Him. How do I get close to God? Number one, you're going to have to die to yourself. You're going to have to get over yourself. young men, young ladies, mom, dad, if we're going to get close to God, we have got to die to ourselves. It's not about me. We live in a generation of world today where it's all about whatever pleases me. And if we're going to be close to God, we can't have that. We've got to die to ourselves. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:31, I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. He said, I die daily. Every day he got up and died to his flesh so that he could be close to God. Do y'all realize that our flesh is no good? It is no good at all. You sow to the flesh, you're going to reap flesh. We're not supposed to make any provision for the flesh, Romans 13:14 says. The Bible says in Romans 8:8 that we cannot please God in the flesh. You want to know what displeases God? Be in the flesh. We cannot please God. Our flesh is weak. Not only, number one, do we have to die to self, but number two, we have got to get in His Word. If you want to know God and you want to have a relationship with Him and you want to get close to Him, this is exactly how you're going to do it right here. You've got to bury yourself in this Word of God. You know what you need to get in the habit of doing? Every decision you make, whether small or great, find out what the Bible says about it first. Not what you think it means and not what somebody else has told you. You find out what the Bible says about it. Now, it might line up with what a preacher said or somebody said. Somebody might say, hey, I think you need to do it like this. And they might have got it from the Bible, and that's fine. But you want to walk close with God, you want a relationship with Him, don't find out secondhand. Find out for sure. I encourage folks sometimes to take notes, as long as it doesn't distract you from the preaching. Take notes during preaching. Take notes during Sunday school. And you go home, and you get it for you. Not, well, man, that was a good message Brother Andrew preached this morning, and just leave it like that. I'm talking about go home and say, God, you gave us the message. Lord, I want it. Give it to me. And get in there and get that thing. If you want to get close to God, you have got to let God speak to you through His Word. This is how He talks to us. And I got verse after verse after verse. We're not going to go over it for sake of time. Not only do you need to die to yourself, and you need to get in His Word, but you need to talk to Him. So what are you talking about, prayer? There is no magic pill. There is no magic thing that you can do to get close to God. There's not a magic dust. I mean, I wish that I could take all these young folks in here and I could just say, put my hand on their head. Amen. Pull a Benny Hinn. He couldn't even cure a ham. Put my hand on her and say, hey, from this point forward, you're going to love God. You're going to serve God. You're going to fall in love with Him. And you're going to have a relationship with Him. And then walk away and then that happened. I wish I could. Amen. But I can't do that. There's no magic pill. There's no marriage that I can go up to and say, hey, I'm going to pray for y'all, and then once I get done, you're good to go. Get a sweat rag out and wipe my sweat on it. As long as you have this in your wallet, you'll be good. I can't do that. You say, what's the secret to having a relationship of closeness with God? It's this book right here. It's you dying to yourself. And you know what? If you get to know this book like you ought to, you're gonna die to self. Why? Because you're gonna have to give up some of that stuff that you love doing so you can get to know Him. We're talking about a whole nother level of Christianity here. We're talking about a whole nother level of just going to church and going through the motions. I'm talking about getting to know God and being close to Him. And you're gonna have to die to self, and you're gonna have to get in this book, and then you're gonna have to get down and talk to Him. I love my wife and I love our relationship, but it would be just a waste. It would just be a show. It would be for naught if I didn't spend time with her to know her. If I didn't listen to her and listen to what she was telling me. If I didn't talk to her sometimes and communicate, it would just be roommates. That's all it would be. It takes more than that. But you know what? Our Heavenly Father wants us to be close to Him. But the only way that's going to happen is if we get in this book. Christians all over the world standing up and getting on social media and saying, I'm a Christian, and they're voicing their opinion. They have no clue what God says about it. Not one. They don't know what God says. They don't know what God says about any of these issues, any of these things. And I'm telling you what, if you want to get close to God, you got to die to self. You got to get in God's Word. You got to talk to Him through prayer. And the last thing, if you want to be close to God, you need to strive to be like Him. You need to strive to be like Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Do you want the mind of Christ, Brother Philip? It's the only way we can get it. If we want to have, You know what God wants you to do? God wants you to get so close to Him. He'd like you to get so close to Him that He can just take you out of here like He did Enoch. Amen. Sitting in that deer stand, God said, man, this man's close. I'm taking him home with me. Amen. He'll help you with that deer. He wants you so close to Him to have that relationship. But you know how close He wants, Maggie? He wants us so close to Him that whenever something happens, we think like He thinks. If something happens in that life, and life happens that we're so close to Him that it's almost like we're in tune, and we say, well, you know, the Bible says, not, well, Andrew thinks. It doesn't matter what Andrew thinks. What does God think? Amen? And He wants us to be that close to Him. Everyone stand, every head bowed, every eye closed. This is the message God laid on my heart this morning. Brother Trapper, you come get your guitar and play it. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Do you want to be close to God this morning, church? We need it. Our home needs it. Our marriage needs it. We have to die to self. We might need to come down to an altar this morning and spiritually speak and take our Bible, that word, that sword of the Lord, the sword of the Spirit, and say, God, would you take this thing and help me die to self this morning? How much time have you been spending in the Word of God? How much time have you been praying to Him? How often do we strive to be like Him? We gave as an introduction some evidences in our life that show that we're close to God. When we went over those things, did you look at your life and ask yourself this question? How close am I to God? I'm not going to beg anybody down here. God told me to preach this message. If the Lord didn't speak to your heart, that's fine. He spoke to me this week. But if God did speak to your heart, would you do me a favor? Would you come talk to Him? Humble your pride. Die to self. Well, I don't have to go to an altar to get right with God. No, you don't. But there's something about humbling yourself before an almighty God, saying, Lord, here am I. Nobody's looking around. Every head bows, every eye closed. Nobody's looking but me and God. Say, Lord, God, I want to get closer to you. Do you have a desire to get? I mean, I see people today that I don't even think they care to get closer to God. They care nothing about it. They're living their life and they're happy and they're pleased with just hum-ho and whatever. They're just going through the motions and they don't care. Man, we need a generation. We need a church. We need a family. We need a group of people that says, hey, we're going to get close to God. We're going to know what we want to know what He wants. We don't care what the world does or says. There's some that have come this morning. If God spoke to your heart, would you come? Do not hinder the Holy Spirit of God today. If he's brought conviction, if He's talked to your heart, it's not an easy message to come on, preacher. It don't matter. It's not about you. It's about a closeness with God. What about it, young person? Young lady, young man? You desire to have that closeness with God? Oh, I pray that you do. I pray that you get that relationship with Him. It's going to be a long road if you don't. You can look up here. Appreciate you being here this morning. And I know there's some that don't feel good, some that are tired. And it's like the perfect.